to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Monday, March the 30th. I am your host, Mike, and hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. And now it's Monday, we're back into the grind, and let's get into some Miami Dolphins news and some NFL news. So, on Sunday, the NFL, I don't want to say they set the guidelines, I want to say they confirmed or cleared up the guidelines on how NFL teams can communicate with players in the lead up to the draft, which is less than a month away. As there's been some confusion, there's been multiple reports out there. There were some reports, which I actually thought were true, that teams could have no contact with these players at all. Apparently that's not true. They can have limited contact with players, but there's certain guidelines. So the NFL sort of cleared that up and sort of set the guidelines and confirmed what teams can and cannot do. So let's go over that, because I know a lot of fans have been asking, you know, when it comes to the draft, well, you know, it's okay that they can't meet with players because they can just talk to them and this, that, and the other. Well, they can, but there's certain ways they can talk to them for only a certain amount of time. So let's go through it. Per the NFL, a team can contact an unlimited amount of players. So in the past, NFL teams, they would have the ability to bring 30 players into their facility and meet with those 30 players. And there's also a rule where if a player went to college within a radius of so many miles of your facility, that wouldn't count against the 30 visits, and you can meet with them too. This now, obviously, because of everything that is happening in the world, this year you can meet with as many players as you want. Obviously not in person, and obviously not at the facility, via telephone or video conference. Here's the parameters, though. You can meet with a player, the same player, three times in 1 week. So, for example, if the Miami Dolphins wanted to meet with, I don't know, let's say DeAndre Swift, they can, you know, by phone or video conference, meet with him three times in a week, as long as each of those meetings do not go over 1 hour. So if they want to have a video conference with Swift on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and each one of those video conferences go 1 hour and not any more, that is well within the rules. And they can do that with an unlimited number of players, so they're not hampered or restricted by only 30. Like they have been in recent years, but obviously that was a little bit different because you could have it at the facility. So you can meet with an unlimited number of players by phone or video conference up to three times per week, and each one of those times is a one-hour limit. The other caveat is, which I don't think this is going to be much of a hang-up, is that when you meet with the players, it cannot interfere with their schoolwork because, you know, the school session's still going on, and for a lot of these schools, obviously, it is taking place online as they have shut down the in-campus classes. So again, just a caveat that the NFL has thrown in there. So the Miami Dolphins, now they, you know, they can meet with whoever they want as many times as they want via video conference or telephone call, pretty much up for 3 hours in any given week. Now, look, it's still not the same, and NFL general managers are still not happy with this, but at least it's something because, you know, especially when it comes to the quarterback spot where you want to have a quarterback stand in front of a whiteboard and you want to throw everything at them, a million questions at them, and you want to see how they react in real time. You want to see how they draw things up. Obviously, they're not going to have that ability. I mean, I'm sure you could do it via video conference. It wouldn't be the same, be a little more of a challenge. But it sort of is what it is, considering what we are dealing with in the world today. So just wanted to clear that up because I know I've been asked about this a million times, and I wasn't sure myself. And per some reports here from our good friends at the Five Reasons Network, 3 yards per carry, they are reporting that the Miami Dolphins have a FaceTime meeting with LSU guard Damian Lewis, as well as Louisiana guard tackle Robert Hunt. Let's see, I think there's a couple other names. They also have a video conference meeting with Zach Moss, the running back from Utah as well. So, you know, the Miami Dolphins, they're going to, you know, like the rest of the teams, you know, stay within the guidelines here and be in contact with a bunch of these players in the lead up to next month's NFL draft. In other news, on Friday, this came out after our last podcast dropped, Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, he got confirmation of what the Miami Dolphins salary cap situation is. And right now, the Miami Dolphins have $24.6 million in salary cap space. And I know a lot of you out there go, whoa, hold on. I've been reading for the past week through SpotTrack, they had $37 million, or through Over the Cap, they had $32 million, or they had a lot more than $24.6. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. And the $24.6 million has been confirmed by the NFL Players Union. So that's the real number. So any number you see anywhere else that's not $24.6 million, it's wrong. Because this is the $24.6 million is confirmed by the NFL Players Association. That is the real number. So the Miami Dolphins, what they did on the contracts of at least three players that we know of, which were Eric Flowers, Byron Jones, and Kyle Vannoy, what they did was they made some changes. And instead of using, instead of opting to use a first-year roster bonus rather than a larger signing bonus. So the Miami Dolphins, you know, they went with a first-year roster bonus instead of a larger signing bonus, which raises those three players' salary cap hits in year one. And you're saying, well, why would the Miami Dolphins do that? They're doing that because the Miami Dolphins are all done in free agency. They do not need any more salary cap space for 2020. The Miami Dolphins are very much pleased with everyone they signed in free agency. They do not plan on signing any other players in free agency. And with the $24.6 million, you know, all depending how the draft shakes out, right now they have 14 picks. You know, they might, they are going to trade away a few of those picks, either to move up or trade them out for picks in 2021. You know, they're going to spend anywhere, you know, who knows, maybe $12 million, $10 million. It all depends on how many picks they end up taking to sign their rookies. And after that, you know, they're content with, if they're only left with about $7 or $8 million or $6 million of salary cap space, they feel that's fine because they want to save that, obviously, for an emergency if, God forbid, a player were to get hurt in training camp and they have to go out there in a pinch and sign somebody. But the reason they did this is to take the hit in year one with those three players is because, you know, they're done in free agency. And I know for a lot of fans, they're like, you know, I still get questions myself via email, via text, Twitter, Facebook, social media, all stuff. Why don't they trade for Trent Williams? Well, they don't want to pay Trent Williams. They don't want to part with a pick for Trent Williams. And now, because of their salary cap situation, they can't afford Trent Williams even if they wanted him. So Trent Williams not coming to Miami. Jadeveon Clowney's not coming to Miami. Cam Newton's not coming to Miami. Jameis Winston's not coming to Miami. Logan Ryan's not coming to Miami. They're done, okay? They're done. Free agency is over for the Miami Dolphins. Now, look, if there's a player who they sign for the vet minimum, okay, that could happen, I guess. But the big names, we know who they are. Everson Griffin, you know, the big names that are still out there who are not signed by any team, you know, the Miami Dolphins are not going to be players for. So when you're sitting there going, man, I see the Miami Dolphins, all these picks, why don't they trade for Trent Williams? He solves their left tackle issue. They can't afford him even if they wanted him. They can't afford him even if they wanted him. So free agency's over. The Miami Dolphins have $24.6 million in salary cap space. And really, all depending on what they do, with how many picks they take in this draft, they'll head into the season after the draft with somewhere probably between $6 and $9 million. Somewhere in that window. If they end up, you know, trading off a bunch of picks and they only make like 8 selections in the draft or 9 selections in the draft, you know, they might end up with around $8 or $9 million. If they end up taking 10 or 11 picks, then it might be a little bit less, like $6 or $7 million. It all depends. And, you know, looking forward to 2021, the NFL salary cap, most people think is going to take a significant jump up to $240 million, which would mean, looking at the books and looking at the contracts on the Miami Dolphins roster, how they sort of adjust from 2020 to 2021 and what players would no longer be on the team in 2021, that would leave the Miami Dolphins with roughly $80 million to spend next year in free agency in 2021. So a year from now, when free agency starts in early March or so, you look at the Miami Dolphins, they have in the neighborhood, roughly, of $80 million. So that's where the Miami Dolphins salary cap situation sits today. It's confirmed from the NFL's Players Association. Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald got that information. So now we can all be on the same page with that, too, and understand where they sit. On Sunday, I released my second mock draft of the year. Now, my first mock draft that I released about 2 weeks ago, you know, I got a ton of feedback on. And it was, first off, I think, you know, mock drafts are supposed to be fun. You can't take mock drafts. I don't care if it's done by Todd McShay. I don't care if it's done by Daniel Jeremiah or Mel Kiper. They're supposed to be fun. It's like fantasy football. It's not real. It's fantasy. You're just predicting, projecting. You know, you can't take it too seriously. And a lot of fans, you know, got really, I would say it was split 50-50. 50% of the fan base, you know, loved my first mock draft, the one I released a couple weeks ago. And that one, I did a bunch of trades and I had some real fun with it. And I had the Miami Dolphins trading up, and then they traded out, and then they traded back in around. And I had some fun with it. And this one, I didn't do any trades, okay? That first one, the feedback was split 50-50. This one, I dropped on Sunday. I did no trades at all. I just set the draft order and just did a pick for each team. And the feedback on this is probably, I would say, 90-10. Right now, since that went live on Sunday afternoon, it's about 90-10. 90% of the fans love the mock draft I dropped. I'll just go over the Miami portion of this. I had the Miami Dolphins at pick 5. I obviously take a quarterback. And the quarterback I had them select was Tua from Alabama. And pretty much the 10% of people who hate this mock draft just because they hate Tua. We're not getting into that again. Tom and myself spoke about that last week. I don't get it. But I had Miami select Tua. It pretty much came down to either Tua or Herbert. And in my eyes, in my opinion, I think Tua, you know, yes, the injury history is there. It's a cloud that will hang over him, you know, throughout his NFL career. But entering the league right now, as of today, I just think he's a little bit more polished, a little bit more NFL ready. And, you know, it's a rate. I mean, honestly, I think those two guys, you know, I'm not as down on Herbert as some others are. I think it's just a razor thin. I think it's like a 1 and 1A type deal, and they can't go wrong with either. But I had them select Tua at 5. At pick 18, I had the Miami Dolphins select Kalavion Chaisson, the edge rush from LSU. And this is where I thought I actually would get some pushback. You know, and this is really the theme of this mock draft 2.0, which I'll get into now. The Miami Dolphins are a team who have a roster. Sure, they have some talented players, like a Devontae Parker, like a Jerome Baker, obviously Xavien Howard, Byron Jones. They got some talented guys on this roster. But overall, this roster is not a roster that's heavily loaded with talent. And they need to bring in some blue-chip players here, and they need to elevate the talent base on this roster. And as the Miami Dolphins enter this draft, with 3 picks in round 1 and 2 picks in round 2, they cannot reach on a player. Now, I know offensive tackle is a huge need for the Dolphins. You look at this Dolphins roster right now, and if you're assuming Jesse Davis will be a right guard, then they don't have a capable left tackle or right tackle on their roster to play a game right now. So I understand that offensive tackle is a big need. But with how this mock played out, and I think how reality will play out on April 23rd, you know, You're gonna have Becton from Louisville. You're gonna have Wirfs from Iowa, Wills from Alabama, and Andrew Thomas from Georgia all be gone by pick 18. I don't think those guys. I actually think 3 of them will probably be gone in the top 10, and 1 of them will fall, but it won't get past, you know, 12, 13, 14. I think they're all gonna be gone long before Miami picks at 18. Now, could Miami trade up and get one? Obviously, yes, they have more than enough picks to do so. And in reality, I think that's actually what will happen. If one of these fall out of the top 10, you know, I think Miami will start to pick up the phone and see if they can maybe trade up and get one of these, you know, I don't want to say blue chip offensive tackles, but one of the top four offensive tackles in this draft. But for the sake of this mock, where I'm not doing any trades, you know, it really comes down to best player available. And at pick 18, if you're the Miami Dolphins, you can reach for a Josh Jones. You can reach for an Austin Jackson. You can reach for an Ezra Cleveland to fill your left tackle spot. But to me, why would you do that at pick 18 when you can get a blue chip edge rusher and Chase on, and you know, you're still going to get one of those tackles either at pick 26 or most likely 39. So to me, it makes no sense to just take an offensive tackle at 18 for the sake of taking an offensive tackle at 18 because you need an offensive tackle. Again, give me the best player available on the board regardless of position. I don't care if he plays offense. I don't care if he plays defense. The Miami Dolphins need the best players. Really, that's what they need here in round one of this draft. Just get quality player after quality player, and because they have holes everywhere. It's not like the Miami Dolphins pass rush is so scary good that they can't use another young pass rusher here. And I know some fans are saying, well, they signed Shaq Lawson, they signed Kyle Vannoy, they signed Emmanuel Ogba, and yeah, that's great. Those guys, you know, are very good players who are going to help out. But with those three guys, we know what they are. And we know what their ceiling is. And since we know what their ceiling is, we know what we can expect out of them. With someone like Chaisson from LSU, he's younger. You control him for 5 years on a cheap rookie deal. And his ceiling is higher than all those guys. So he might surpass all those guys in time if it were to pan out. So why wouldn't you just take the best player available? Because it's not like we don't need another pass rusher. So I took him at number 18. At pick 26, again, you're thinking offensive tackle. Well, the way this mock draft fell, Josh Jones is gone. Now, if he went pick number 24 to New Orleans. If Josh Jones was there at pick 26, might have took him. Actually, probably would have took him, but he's not there. So I went with the Miami Dolphins taking a safety out of Alabama, Xavier McKinney. I know, have your laugh. We just traded a safety from Alabama, but we're going to take another. Just because one of them was a little bit of a crybaby and threw a temper tantrum doesn't mean we're never going to draft a safety from Alabama ever again. They're two different people. So, and once again, safety is a big need for the Miami Dolphins. As, you know, they would, you know, in a perfect world, like to slide Bobby McCain back to nickel corner if they could. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins have very little depth at safety to begin with. So Xavier McKinney, once again, more talented than reaching for an Austin Jackson or reaching for an Ezra Cleveland or reaching even for a Cesar Ruiz, who is more of a center guard. You know, they're going to take the best player available. And I don't care if he plays defense because, again, we still have picks at 39 and 56 where we can get a tackle or an offensive lineman. And that's sort of what I hinted at. If you read through the entire mock, at the end of the first round mock, I make my notes. What would Miami be looking at here as they enter round two at pick 39 and 56? And I go, obviously, you're looking at running back and you're looking at offensive line. And there's so many good running backs in this draft, you could probably wait to pick 56 to get your running back. Now, pick 39, at least how I have my mock fall, you know, odds are you're going to get and Austin Jackson will fall, or the offensive lineman whose name is slipping my mind from TCU, Niang. You know, one of those two guys should be there 39. So, yes, you could reach for someone at pick 18just to pick an offensive tackle for the sake of picking an offensive tackle. But why wouldn't you take a quality pass rusher or a quality safety and still get, you know, Because when it comes to me, when I look at Ezra Cleveland, Josh Jones, Austin Jackson, to me, most of those guys are in the same tier. So unless, you know, the team really loves one over the rest, if I get one from that grouping, I'm happy. So I think at pick 39, they can get one from that grouping. I don't think they have to reach and take one at 18 or even reach and take one at 26. I think one of those guys or even two of those guys might be there at pick number 39. And again, in reality, the Miami Dolphins can trade up, obviously, from 18 or 26 should one of these guys be there. Just as well, if they're at pick 39 and one of these guys fall out of round one, they can trade up to the top of round two in reality. So that's my mock draft. This one's getting a lot more, not a split, not with a 50-50 split, a lot more positive feedback because I think fans sort of understood what I did here with best player available. Because as I was saying, you know, at the end of this offseason, which we've already gone through and signed 10 free agents, now we're going to have however many picks in this draft. The goal isn't to have a finished product and a finished roster. The goal is to have a much better product and a much better roster to where next offseason this time, with $80 million in salary cap space and two picks in round one, two picks in round two, and some extra picks, hopefully, in that draft, the goal is to, okay, we've sort of shored up our secondary, we sort of shored up our linebackers, the pass rush is looking good, you know, we got our franchise quarterback, we got a young running back. Really, the last thing we're missing here is maybe, you know, the final piece or two on the offensive line. If that's all they're looking for heading into 2021, I am fine with that. I understand this 2020 season, all depending on how the draft falls, the offensive line might be, you know, still a work in progress. And what I look back onto is last year, the Miami Dolphins won five games. They won five games with that garbage offensive line of, you know, nobodies. You know, guys who just weren't any good. And guys that they would pick up on a Monday and throw into the starting lineup by Sunday. You know, in and out, constant changes, constant moving around. They still found a way to win five games. So just by the additions of Eric Flowers and Ted Karras already, to go along with Jesse Davis, you know, any offensive lineman they add in this draft who can play in year one, you know, makes this offensive line, you know, a step better than last year. Now, it's not perfect. It's not done. There's still work to be done. But it's already improved over the product they put on the field in 2019. So if the product isn't finished after this draft, that's okay. Because if we can sort of finish up other areas on this roster, like I said, secondary, pass rush, linebacker, quarterback, running back, you know, if we can sort of nail those spots down, then really this rebuild's almost done. And we're almost to the point where we can be a legitimate NFL contender for playoff spots, division titles, and hopefully more. So really, and this is what I pray happens on the night of the draft, well, the first two nights at least, rounds one, two, and three, where really the most important rounds, you know, don't reach for offensive linemen just for the sake of taking offensive linemen. Now, sure, if the Miami Dolphins, if they can move from pick 18 to, I don't know, pick number, you know, 12, and all they got to give up is like pick number 70 or pick number 56, by all means, do it if it means they can get an Andrew Thomas or a Jedrick Wills or whoever. By all means, just do it. Just do it. Make the trade and do it. But if they can't and they have to stay at 18, that's okay too. That's okay too. And it's nothing. Let the draft come to you and just take the best players to improve the talent on this roster, because that's what the Miami Dolphins need desperately. Also, you know, when it comes to the quarterback at the top of the draft, and I won't spend much time on this because there's been so many rumors. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? You know, will Cincinnati part with pick number one? I have no idea. But here's what I'll say, and this has been reported a few places, so it's not breaking news, but I'm just sort of reminding people. You know, at the Senior Bowl, the Cincinnati Bengals were able to coach one of the teams, and one of the players they coached was Justin Herbert. And from all the reports, they fell in love with Justin Herbert. Like, they think Justin Herbert's the best, and Justin Herbert was the MVP of the Senior Bowl, and they were just fawning over him. So when push comes to shove, and they might not want to show their hand probably until the week of the draft, if the Cincinnati Bengals sit back and decide, you know what, we want Justin Herbert, well, they're not going to take him at one. They're going to find a team like Miami, and they're going to say, what would you give up to move up to one? And if the Miami Dolphins, you know, really love Joe Burrow, that's their opportunity. Again, it all is dependent on Cincinnati. And, you know, just from reports, Cincinnati does like Justin Herbert a lot. Do they like him more than Joe Burrow? I have no earthly idea, and nobody does. But they do like Justin Herbert a lot. And, you know, if they end up saying, you know, we really want Justin Herbert, then they might trade back and probably to a team like Miami, because very few teams have the capital that it takes to move up to pick number one to select Joe Burrow. Last thing I want to talk about, and this is, I know it's everyone's favorite topic, but it sort of has to be addressed because it's the world we are living in. The coronavirus and how it will affect the upcoming 2020 college football season and NFL football season, and will there even be football played in 2020? You know, you watch the news, and every day you see the press conferences with all the governors and the president in the news. You know, it's not really uplifting. We're seeing the amount of deaths each day double almost, and more people are getting sick with this, and they're extending the non-essential workforce thing, where if you're a non-essential worker, they don't want you to leave the house to the end of April now. Now we're looking at May for some people who will be out of work. And it's crazy and it's scary. And, you know, football season, you know, we'll be here before we know it. You have your OTAs, obviously, for the NFL. You have your rookie camps. Those most likely won't happen. And, you know, then for college, you know, they really start their summer ball first part of August, which you can say, oh, that's a ways away. It'll be here before you know it, folks. And Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN, he made some headlines over the weekend. And I'm not sure he's wrong. And I'm only talking about it not to sort of get you more depressed, just to sort of, it is worth mentioning, just so as fans of football, whether it's NFL or college or both, you know, you got to be prepared for what might be a year with either no football or a very different looking football year. And Kirk Herbstreit said he'd be shocked in 2020 if NFL or college football seasons take place because of the coronavirus pandemic. Here's a quote. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'll be so surprised if that happens. Just because from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into a locker room and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of that. He goes, he went on to say, next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch. I wouldn't want to have that, he said. As much as I hate to say it, I think we're just scratching the surface of where this thing is going to go. And I think he's right. He said, he added that limited preparation time could also be a factor. Even if the coronavirus outlook started to improve by late summer, you don't all of a sudden come up with something in July or August and say, okay, we are good to go and turn them loose. Pretty much saying, you know, these guys need their camps. They need time to get into shape for games and sort of learn playbooks because there's so, you know, in college, you're dealing with kids who are in classes you have limited practice time with and kids who are, you know, moving in from, you know, you might have a kid attending the University of Miami who was born and raised in Houston, Texas. You know, he's not going to move to campus until he has to because A, he probably can't, and B, why would you move any sooner than you can? And, you know, it's not like they have all summer hours on end to learn a playbook and practice with their team. Once they're on campus, they're in classes. They have, you know, limited times with the coaching staff. So in that regard, there's that. And then for the NFL, you know, you have to deal with the players union. And the players union, you know, they're going to protect their membership, and they're not going to let these guys, you know, go into a locker room of 90 players in the preseason. We have 90-man rosters, 80-man rosters, and be on top of one another and get each other sick and sick and potentially really, really sick with this thing where, you know, you could die from this. So the NFL's got that to sort of worry about. And even if you fall onto the side of just play the games with no fans in the stadiums, yes, I think that's an option. And I actually think for college football and NFL football, since the bulk of their money comes from television, unlike Major League Baseball, the bulk of the money comes from the live gate and the attendance at each stadium. It's not like that in football. Football, the bulk of the money comes from Fox, CBS, ESPN, NBC, the TV deals. So, you know, even if you lose the live gate and you don't have 70,000 people in attendance for a game, the NFL will survive because they just get so much money from the TV networks. The issue is, you know, A, these players are in, you know, close physical contact with each other, you know, in the game itself. And outside of the game, you know, if you've ever been to an NFL locker room like I have, you know, these guys sit on top of each other. You know, it's not like each locker, you know, is, you know, miles apart from each other. They're literally little mini cubicles where you are on top of the next guy. So when you talk about social distancing, that's not something that happens in the NFL locker room. So in college football locker rooms, too, for that sake. So the health and well-being of the players in that regard, you know, I don't know. And I don't know if that's safe. I don't know if it, who knows where it'll be, you know, come late spring, early summer. Nobody knows. But I wanted to mention that from Kirk Herbstreit because, you know, look, we all love our football. I wouldn't own a site like this if I didn't. Many of you wouldn't listen to a podcast like this if you didn't. And, you know, we just want football in our lives. And especially in times like this with crazy things happening in the real world, we love the distractions of things like free agency and the draft. But after this draft, you know, I don't know. I really don't know when the next time we're going to have something football-related to talk about. OTAs surely are not going to happen. Rookie minicamp surely will not happen. And we're looking at probably, you know, late July, first part of August, and will there be training camp? And, you know, what Kirk Herbstreit's saying, he's not saying it to be a troll or not saying it to sort of rain in everyone's parade. He's saying, you know, when you hear the doctor speak and you look at how this thing spreads and everything with this virus, and we're not going to have a vaccine in the next, you know, 12 weeks or so, I don't know how you can put that many players, even forget the fans at the games, I don't know how you put that many players in close contact with each other and not have that rest on your conscience on some level. Because God forbid something happens, like he said, that's on your watch. And with the NFL, you know, you have the players union who is looking out for the players in that regard. In college, these college presidents, you know, everyone thinks college sports runs the world and it brings the school so much money. And it does, don't get me wrong. But those college presidents, they're responsible for all of those kids and their kids in college. Even the players that might be larger than life, height-wise, speed-wise, muscle-wise, they're still kids. And those college presidents are responsible for their lives. And I don't know how any of them will want to risk, A, their job, or B, open themselves up to a lawsuit from a family who, God forbid, if a kid gets sick. I just don't see it. And then you also look around the country, you know, certain parts of the country are affected more than others. You look at, you know, look at the state of California, you got USC, UCLA, Cal, and all those schools out there in California. Those are just the largest three. I know there's so many more. You know, California right now is a disaster. So even if, like, the Southeast or the Midwest isn't too bad, you know what? What, you're just going to have the Southeast Conference play with the ACC, maybe the Big Ten, but Pac-12, sorry, you're out of luck this year. You can't play. It's not going to work. It's going to be all or nothing. And, you know, it's a scary situation. Now, and this was just another report, on a more of an uplifting note, I guess you could say. If you want to see football this year, I think it was Sports Business Journal over the weekend has this proposal that I guess is being chatted about. Now, it's not being rumored because most of the schools involved and the Miami Herald confirmed that the University of Miami hasn't been contacted about this yet. So I guess this is at the very high level as an option that's on the table. So don't go saying it's going to happen. It might happen. It's just an idea at this time that move the, because apparently, and once again, I'm no doctor, I don't know. Apparently this virus is not as easily passed from person to person in the summer months or in the heat. So when the weather gets really hot, this virus might, you know, sort of shrink, the flattening of the curve, they say. It might go down, only to pick back up in the fall and winter. So there's been an idea floated that for the college football season to play the games in July, August, and September. And at the end of September, you play your bowl games, season's over. So usually when the college football season's just starting, it would be just ending, and you would play the games in July, August, and September. There would be no out-of-conference games. You would play just conference games. So if you are the University of Miami, you are just playing other schools inside the ACC, and that's it. You're not going to play anybody on your out-of-conference schedule. Again, that's just an idea. Whoever came up with this idea, I give them credit. That is thinking outside the box, and that's maybe coming up with a way to save a season that might already be dead. I give them credit. On the flip side, I think it's a logistical nightmare, and I don't know how you pull it off, especially as we are late March right now, and you're saying you want the first games to be played in July. I don't know how you organize that. I don't know how you lock in stadiums for that. I don't know how you get the students on campus in time. I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to play a game in July, you got to have those kids in school or on campus late May, first part of June. And from the press conference I saw from the president on Sunday night, he's saying this whole thing might be shut down through May to June 1st. So I don't know how you do that. But it's an idea. It's being floated out there. Will it happen? I have no idea. But just sort of, you know, I think we all have to start to prepare ourselves. So once this draft ends here in about a month, you know, we don't know if there's actually going to be a 2020 season. And I pray to God that's not the case. Look, it would be a long winter if there's no college football or if there's no NFL football. But I wanted to mention it because, you know, as we're going to get caught up here in the next 3 or 4 weeks with a lot of draft talk, prospect talk, rumors. Oh, Miami's talking this guy. Miami's talking that guy. They might trade up. There's this trade rumor. And we're going to get caught up in that. But and then right when it ends the draft, we're going to do recaps of the draft, say, oh, I kind of wish they picked this guy here instead of this. And we're going to, you know, maybe even talk to a few of the players and all that good stuff. But once that sort of ends, we might be in a very long lull until we have any Miami Dolphins news to talk about, as, you know, football is going to take a backseat to real life. It really is going to take a backseat to real life. So I just wanted to mention that real quick because just sort of keep it in the back of your mind, because after this draft here in less than a month, who knows when we'll be able to talk about anything relevant concerning the Miami Dolphins again. So that's all for today's show. Now, we got some big shows coming up this week, because I got a few interviews scheduled. I don't want to say who, because every time I say who, it gets jinxed and somebody has to cancel or reschedule. But hopefully I have a big interview scheduled for tomorrow's show, and I will drop that on Tuesday morning. If not, then it'll happen later in the week. But as of right now, it'll drop on Tuesday morning, so be on the lookout for that. As always, follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Check out my latest mock draft, version 2.0. Send me your feedback via Twitter, Facebook, or at email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. We got some big things in store for the website. Really big things. For the here and now, and also, I am, like I said, contingency plans. If there's no football games played here this year, this upcoming year, I have some contingency plans that will at least keep the site relevant throughout the fall and winter, should there be no NFL games. So I'm working around the clock, coming up with ideas and plans for the website. And, you know, we're going to have all things Miami Dolphins for you no matter what. But in the lead up to the draft here the next month, we are going to be your one stop for all things Miami Dolphins. I got a bunch of interviews planned with some big name people that you are all going to love. And I got some other things in the works too. So be on the lookout for that. So everyone, enjoy your Monday. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.